time for the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk on MSO New Sports, bringing you the latest in high school sports news from the Merrimack Valley in southern New Hampshire. The Sports Desk is produced by Kelly Media and brought to you by Moynihan Lumber, the Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill and Cranny Self Storage in Danvers. And now your host, Dom Nicastro.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, Dom Nicastro here. We're here every week on msonewsports.com. What's going on, everybody? And we cover the Merrimack Valley, a little Southern New Hampshire action, two quarterly basis there, but we are ready to rock and roll. This is mid-April, obviously. Boston Marathon out of the way. Red Sox are looking, but the Merrimack Valley is heating up. That's what we care about mostly, right? And, you know, we're not going to waste much time. We're going to get to our one and only guest today. I'd have to say this was the most compelling, thoughtful, honest, real interview. Now, the interviews I have are all real and obviously honest and all that. But, you know, most of the time it's just celebrating success. And this is super important because we're not only celebrating success, we're looking back at a major decision. Where our guest had a, you know, scholarship to a Division I college to run, Jordani Volquez, and, you know, legend out of Lawrence, recent high school grad. But he's home now and pursuing his law enforcement career. He did not go through with staying at his Division I college down in UConn. And there's so much to it, so much to unpack. But my big takeaway is that this young man can be an inspiration. His story can be an inspiration to many young folks who, or old folks, whoever, who have a golden opportunity because they've earned it with their athletic success. And if it doesn't feel right, if something's not there, if you're having trouble mentally, to force yourself through something is probably not the way to go sometimes, right? It was a long, thought-out process, and it landed him coming back home to the Merrimack Valley. And this boy is happy now, and that's what matters, right? He wasn't happy down at his college, and look at what he's done. I'm going to save it, because why listen to me? Jordani's going to tell you his story, and I truly think that it can serve as an inspiration to young student-athletes. Again, anyone, really, whoever, whatever situation you're in, the program and the model that he followed to work himself out of this funk and get back to some place he's happy with was inspirational. So I will let him tell his story. I will get out of the way. After this break, former Lawrence track standout, Jordani Volquez, in a very, very heartfelt interview with the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
all the appetizers to get your taste buds going, like sliders, quesadillas, wraps and burgers, specialties like tropical grilled salmon, fajitas, turkey tips, steaks, ribs, pasta, seafood, kids' meals. And did we mention 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games? There's Going Out, and then there's Sylvan Street Grill, the best place to go on the North Shore in Peabody and Salisbury.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, Dominic Castro here. We are joined by our latest guest, Jordani Volquez. What's going on, Jordani?
How you doing, Dom? How you doing?
Good.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to be on with you. And, you know, Lauren's track star and doing some great things in the world of law enforcement, or he's going to do great things. He's training to do great things right now.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, let's start right there. Like current day, like bring our listeners up to speed on where this record-setting, historic Merrimack Valley track standout is currently operating in the world. And what's the ultimate, you know, vision for your career after you get out of this point?
Yeah. So right now, I'm taking part in a 12-week academy for Essex County Sheriff's Department. You know, it's something that I've been wanting to do for a long time. You know, I knew that if, you know, track and field didn't work out or anything like that, I would definitely be taking part on some type of law enforcement in some capacity. I landed here at Essex County Sheriff's Department. It's been tough. But I love it. I wouldn't want it any other way. You know, it's amazing. It's a great department to start off at, for sure. And to, you know, have a lifelong career at. So
yeah, I can imagine. Now, is this, you know, law enforcement, was you've known this for how long that you wanted to get into this?
Oh yeah, I've known since I was young. I used to, you know, play around with little toy handcuffs all the time when I was young and stuff like that. Way before, you know, any of the track and field stuff happened.
Yeah. Now, was there any like family members as well, or is it just something your own path?
No, just me. Nobody in my family is taking the law enforcement route. I'm first.
Yeah. And what's a typical day like in the academy? I know it's a grind.
Yeah. So typically I'd wake up about 4:30 in the morning, make it to the academy down in Northern Essex Community College in Haverhill. I have to be there for 0600 hours, so 6 a.m. PT in the morning. Then, you know, after that, we go ahead and do a bunch of, you know, training, classwork, you know, have to take tests and stuff like that. And ultimately, I get out around 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So, you know, relatively, you know, pretty long day, I'd say.
Yeah. Now, you know, record setter, 200 meter, you know, fastest 110 hurdles time, second fastest in area history. Eagle Tribune MVP 2 times, All-Star, whatever you want to call it. You know, New England's, you made your mark everywhere. Now, the question is, you know, how are you applying those skills into the physical part of the academy? Like, where's the transfer of skills? Does it help?
Yeah, definitely. You know, physically, you have to be physically ready for this type of job. You know, it's a lot of physical demand in this profession. And, you know, it definitely helped me. I definitely was, you know, out of shape when I first got into the academy. But, you know, my running background and everything I've done definitely helped me, you know, get right into the groove of things. So if it wasn't for my running abilities, you know, it'd be very tough because we run a lot during the academy.
Now the running in the academy, is it more like long distance, or they make you sprint? So they do a little bit of both?
For the most part, it's going to be long distance, be a mile and a half. You know, towards the end of the academy, we're going to have to do a 6-mile run. So it's a 6-mile pride run.
Yeah. Was that something that you were accustomed to in your training? I mean, I know you were mainly a sprinter and hurdler, but did you do long distances as well to build up tolerance and strength?
Sometimes not. Yeah. I wouldn't say I'm an expert at it, but when you know, the coaches wanted to put me in a decathlon or a pentathlon, I would train for the longer distance. Not great at it, I can admit that, but decent enough to where, you know, I am pretty dominant against, you know, my other peers in the academy.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. But and then, you know, someday I don't expect someone that's, you know, tinkering with the law a bit. I don't think they're going to be able to escape or outrun you because that's bad math for them and bad luck. But, you know, do you envision what's the ultimate, like, totally the ultimate role for you when you get out of the academy, maybe in the beginning and then even longer term, 5, 10, 15 years, you know, what's the vision for you in your law enforcement career?
Yeah. So for me, you know, I want to, you know, right now finish this academy, get in, you know, work, do the best as I can, the best that I can, learn as much as I can from, you know, people at the department currently and, you know, the higher ups or and stuff like that. I want to try and get as best a reputation as I possibly can right off the gate because, you know, it's a huge thing. Then possibly, you know, later on, if I want, maybe going and doing something, maybe local PD, maybe Lawrence Police Department, you know, anywhere else. It just all depends. You know, you never know. I may stay with Essex County. So it just all depends, really.
Yeah.
But definitely do the right thing and, you know, grind, you know, help the department out as much as I can.
Yeah. With the sheriffs, there's a lot of opportunities for prison work, correct? Would that be something you possibly could land in?
Right. Yeah. So I'd start off every officer out of the academy starts off inside the jail at Middleton House of Correction. As a CO. So, and then after that, you have a year of probation. Once you get off of that, then you could put in for other jobs.
Yeah.
So stuff like that, but that's down the road.
Yeah. What's a CO stand for?
Correctional officer.
Okay. Yeah. So you're maintaining the prison environment. Man, talk about throwing you into the fire. It's like, you know, you're in law enforcement, you're in an academy, and then we're throwing you into a place that houses a bunch of criminals.
Yeah, you know, yeah, like definitely.
Real intimate, right in their face. I mean, day one, it's like, here we go.
Yeah, it's intimidating, but, you know, they do a really, really good job of preparing us for that. We do realistic training in the academy as well. And on top of that, we go and we do on-the-job training for about a week, so... You know, we kind of know what to expect, and they do a great job at, you know, training you as an officer to be ready for what you might encounter on the inside.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you're going to be a rookie. The inmates are going to know that, and they're going to try to test you, that kind of thing. You actually play out scenarios in the academy, like someone pretends to be a prisoner, and here you are, Giordani, trying to keep the calm there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they do. We do play out scenarios and, you know, we try to keep it as realistic as possible. You know, I say the staff does an amazing job at what they're doing right now. They're doing an amazing job at teaching us these things. They're very experienced people.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's bring our listeners up to speed on what transpired, you know, from the moment you left Lawrence until this point where you decided to, like, you know what, I'm ready to focus on my law enforcement now career. I'm here. So you already put yourself in that place. I'm wondering what got you there. You know, talk about post Lawrence, kind of sum it up where you got from end of Lawrence High School to this point now.
Yeah, it's a long story. So
go ahead.
After I ended up while I was in high school committing to North Carolina A&T, a Division I track and field university, whatever you want to call it. But So I had signed, the coach ended up leaving to the University of Tennessee. I ended up decommitting. I was trying to get a scholarship elsewhere. It was so late in the year that, you know, it was kind of late to sign with anyone. And I actually got an opportunity to go run for Hines Community College down in Raymond, Mississippi with Reginald Dillon. is his name, is the head coach's name. Great guy. Mm. He gave me a spot there. He gave me scholarship money. So I went down there for about a semester. After that, I was supposed to transfer elsewhere, and that didn't work out. So I was out of there. Then I sat at home for a while, did some side jobs, you know.
Yeah.
And I got in contact with UConn, the coach down at UConn. Right. We made that work, and I got on there. And then, you know, when I got there, I was doing well at the beginning. I was doing great. I was feeling great. And then I kind of just, you know, was thinking to myself and sat there, like, track and field kind of wasn't fun for me anymore at that point. You know, I wasn't able to do what I envisioned in the beginning. So it kind of took the fun out of it for me. And,
was that last fall?
Yeah. It, you know, it took the fun out of me, took the fun out of it for me. So I decided that I was just going to be done with it all and, you know, start brand new, clean slate, you know, do some law enforcement stuff. You know, nobody has to know, you know, that I ran track and field at Division I level. It was, you know, clean slate. I just wanted to just be myself and start a new career. And, you know, that's what I ended up doing. Like, of course, you know, the track and field stuff follows me everywhere.
Yeah.
Wherever I go, you know, they'll find out because, you know, we do background checks and all that stuff. So they find out rather quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like it was time for me to move on. And I feel like there was no better time to do it than now. You know, I'd rather do it now than wait, you know, super long time, rack up a lot of debt for college and stuff like that. And then be miserable, you know?
Yeah.
Because when you have a lot of debt and you're trying to do things, I wasn't trying to force anything. And I decided to let it go.
Yeah. Look, you're an adult, you know, and kids, like we force kids to go to school, right? They have to go, get through it. But if you have a path and your passion, you know, lies eventually with a career like law enforcement, and you're in a position that's going to delay that, you're not feeling mentally okay there, don't feel it. You have to make an adult decision. Where do I go? And you went where your passion is, and you went where the right time. And you can tell in your face that people can't see your face on this podcast, but you can tell that you're in a comfortable place right now.
Oh yeah. I love it. I love it. You know, it's amazing. I feel like when I was in college, especially when I was at UConn, I wasn't in a great place. I mentally was out of it. I wasn't there. You know, I would skip class. I would stay in my room. I'd isolate myself from everybody else. And, you know, I started noticing that, you know, and I didn't want to go down that rabbit hole. I'm like, yeah, definitely going to cut this here and, you know, move forward. Especially I knew that the debt was going to be racking up, even though I was on scholarship. I still have some debt that I have to pay off. So,
sure.
You know, I don't come from a family background that has a lot of money. So I would be taking care of that myself. And I didn't want to put that burden on my shoulders.
No, I hear that. I hear that. And, you know, you see a lot of professional athletes, you know, in the same kind of mind frame. You know, if they don't have it upstairs, don't have it in here, no matter how gifted they are like you, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not going to compare you to Johnny Manziel because he went down a real bad road. But did you see that documentary on Netflix?
Yeah, I saw half of it.
He kind of reminds me of a situation like that where he went to the Cleveland Browns. He was a high draft pick and he was like, I don't feel this. I'm not in the right place. I'm not in the right mindset. So, you know, his choices were a little poorer than yours. You went to something positive like law enforcement, and he went down a different road. But you know what I'm saying? It's a tough choice, but it's ultimately the right choice for you. It sounds like you're, and guess what? You can always run.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was super hard. You know, I was in contention for running for the Dominican Republic and all that stuff. They wanted me to run for their national team and stuff like that. But it just, you know, it just didn't make sense to me. You know, for my mental health and my happiness, and just monetarily wise, it just didn't make much sense to me. You know what I mean? There's not much money to go around in track and field. And, you know, I was talented and gifted, but what are the chances of me becoming a millionaire off of running track and field? You know what I mean? I'm not going to become a millionaire off of law enforcement, but I feel much more comfortable in doing this type of work. And I feel like, you know, the reward isn't just making money. It's about more than that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that Dominican situation, like, you would have to train full time. You wouldn't, you'd have to have all these funds to travel.
Yeah, and exactly. Yeah. And it just wasn't there. And and honestly, I'm not sure if it was ever going to be there, you know? So I didn't want to live my life on fairy tales and stuff like that. You know, I was high school. After high school, I realized, you know, I'm 20 now. I'm like, you're only getting older. You know, at some point, mom can't provide for you anymore. You have to provide for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I played Division III baseball at Salem State, you know, back in the 90s. Yeah. And I had a great career. We had a great team and everything. And then I had a great summer of baseball after my final year in college. And then I went to work. Right. And then a year later, summer baseball opened up again, men's baseball. And I went to that first practice. I'm like, what the? I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
You know, and I was 22. I was like, I still had my talent. I still was in shape. And I'm like, what am I doing? Am I making the right choice? And I'm like, I am. Cause I felt comfortable after. I told the coach, I'm like, I was the MVP of the league the year before. I mean, you know, we were defending champs. It was like, let's go, let's go. And then I had no energy for it. No, I wanted to go back to work, you know?
Yeah. And it's crazy because at the time I couldn't put it into words to really tell my coach, you know, what I was feeling and what I was thinking of doing and stuff like that. So like I ended up coming home for vacation and, you know, I really regret this because I feel like I did it the wrong way. And I kind of just, I stayed home, you know, I was like, I'm not coming back. And, you know, he calls me on the phone. I answer and stuff like that. And I'm just like, I don't know if I want to come back. You know what I mean? But I feel like that was a conversation that I should have had with him face to face and stuff like that. And honestly, I regret that because, you know, that was very poor on my character for doing something like that. But I felt embarrassed and I couldn't put it into words to be able to tell him myself, you know? Yeah. So I ended up coming home and I stayed home. I did some research and stuff like that. And it landed me here. And honestly, I am as happy as can be.
Yeah.
So
nice. Well, that's where you want to be, right? You're always chasing that happiness aura. You try to find it, grab it, and it goes different places. You know, sometimes it might be in a career, it might be in a relationship, and you're always trying to grab some sort of decent happiness and just, you know, in your life. Everyone deserves it.
Yeah. And I feel like I was kind of chasing, you know, and trying to make everyone else around me happy. But not making myself happy at the same time. You know, I was doing it and everybody else is cheering me on and they're happy and stuff like that. But at the same time, when I was at practice, my mind wasn't with practice. My mind was, when am I going to be done with this? When can I go to my room? As soon as practice is done, I'm leaving. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. When you get to those moments, it's better off for yourself, for the team, right? Yep. For the coach, for all of those to make that decision and part ways when it feels right to part ways. And I'm sure you gave it a lot of thought. I'm sure you talked to a lot of people.
It was awful. It was awful thinking about it and stuff like that. But honestly, you know, got to leave some room for other people to, you know, do their thing as well. So
yeah,
I left that for whoever else wants to do it. I'm like, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So looking back at your experience in that moment, you know, where you made the decision to go in the direction of professional career in law enforcement, you know, what advice do you have to someone who's a gifted athlete like yourself, right?
Yep.
And they are at a high level of college, ready to compete, but they're not feeling it. You know, what do you tell that person who's in your shoes? Because I'm sure hundreds of athletes like yourself have been in that same spot.
Yeah, I'd say definitely give it some thought. You know, it's a tough decision, but ultimately, you know, do what's best for you and for your mental health. You know, that's a big thing right now with student athletes. You know, it's a lot on the mental health. Definitely do what's best for you. Don't try to please anyone else, because at the end of the day, you know, the one that's going to be screwed and, you know, mentally, you know, and maybe physically going through it is going to be yourself. You know what I mean? So you really have to think about, how is this going to affect me, you know, short term and long term? Because, you know, you stay in that kind of position for long enough and, you know, I can, you know, depression starts to come around, you know, especially nowadays with, you know, suicides are a very, very common thing, you know, and those things are real. You know what I mean? Thank God I never got to that point, but because I stopped myself before then, and I had, you know, a good support system around me, the right people around me to, you know, be able to guide me in the correct way. But, you know, it's, be scared to come out and talk to someone. You know, it's a big thing. You can't just, you know, keep all that stuff bottled in. You have to talk to someone. And if maybe one person isn't understanding, you talk to somebody else, you know. That helped me a lot. Yeah. You know, definitely having my parents and my girlfriend and my siblings around definitely helped me a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I look around at a lot of people who are down and out, and I think it likely began with not having support. Like no family to turn to, no people to help, coworkers, whatever. And you just, it's scary to be alone in this world. So you're super lucky that you had that support.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was, and the thing is, sometimes you may have that support there, but you're scared, you know, you're scared to even say anything. You know, I was scared to how my mom was going to react, you know, and my girlfriend and stuff like that. But I say they, you know, they tried to talk me out of it a little bit, but relatively they started getting the gist, you know, and like, you know, maybe we should try something else and you should do something else. If that's what you really want and what your heart desires,
yeah,
maybe that is what you should do. And I think that'd be best for you. And, you know, I really appreciated to hear that from them, because it definitely helped out with my decision.
Jordani Volquez of Lawrence Track. Superstar, standout, legend around running circles in the Merrimack Valley, New England, and beyond. This was a super real conversation. I mean, it probably the best one I've ever had in this format. Because a lot of the athletes that come on are great, like you, but they won an award or something, so I have to get them on and talk, and they're in the season. This is important. This is just as important of a conversation, because if athletes can gain something out of this and say, wow, someone else was going through this too.
Yeah.
You know, what do I do? And you made the most of it. You took a situation that was not good for yourself, health-wise, mental health-wise, and you made it, you turned it around.
And honestly,
in a great spot to thrive.
And honestly, not many people know, you know what I mean? Cause I tend to keep it to myself. Not many people know this, but, that's how it went down. That's what happened. And, I'm glad that I made the decision that I made. You know, I'd love to say anybody that needs someone to talk to or anything, if you can find me on social media, feel free to, you know, reach out. You know, I'm here. I'll definitely talk to them.
Yeah. Role models and mentors come in all shapes and sizes, right? Like all experiences.
Definitely.
You don't have to be just an athlete who keeps achieving things year after year. You can be someone who
made a
personal decision. You can be a mentor for that. You should look into it someday and do public speaking, because that's an important, that's an important message.
You
articulated it so well.
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, I'd be so down for that, you know. If anybody was interested, you know, I would definitely do that. You know, in the future or now, if anybody was interested.
All right, man. So we'll wrap it up with saying this. I live in Southern New Hampshire, so I'm always in the Merrimack Valley.
Yeah.
So, you know, hook me up if I was going too fast on 93 North, 495, heading in Lawrence, you know, hook me up. Is that cool?
Yeah, don't worry, Dom. You know, we'll definitely stay in touch.
All right, man. Well, thanks for coming on and having a super honest and real conversation that I think is gonna help a lot of people and touch them. So, Jernani Volquez, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on. It's a pleasure.
All right. Have a good one, man. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye now.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning on remodeling your kitchen or just thinking about it, may I suggest that you visit our kitchen cabinet showroom in downtown Beverly. There you will find some 25 kitchens on display, just as they might look in your own home. And you can also talk with our kitchen cabinet sales team, who really do know what they are talking about. That's at Moynihan Lumber, 82 River Street in downtown Beverly.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for the best place on the North Shore to gather with friends after work, on the weekend, or catch a game? Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. Enjoy daily specials, mouth-watering appetizers, and delicious entrees. There is something for everyone at the Sylvan Street Grill. Come check out the newly expanded bar in Peabody with 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games.
Sylvan Street Grill.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All right, that interview is in the books with Jordani. Wow, thank you. If you're still listening, man, we can't thank you enough for opening up on this show, telling your story here for the first time. You're a very decorated athlete in the Merrimack Valley, and to put the cap on your athletic career by just being so real, so honest, and dealing with stuff that athletes deal with all the time, but they never open about it. They force themselves into a position because it's what others expect, you know, ride it out, tough it out, kid. No, that's not always the best path. The best path is finding a place where you're mentally okay, you're physically okay, and you have a strong support system around you. And that's exactly where JV is right now. Very impressive. We're going to go around the horn here. Merrimack Valley spring sports report. Just kind of see what's going on. Twitter's very helpful for that. Methuen High Varsity Baseball on Tuesday, April 16th, dropped a tough one to North Andover early in the season to learn and grow. Back at it Thursday morning versus Bill Ricca. Let's move on to see what else is going on in the Great Valley. Methuen Track talked about, did we see that right in the results? 10:48 for our former Ranger. Way to go, Darwin. And that was an athlete who has moved on to college. Trying to figure it out here, who that might be. They actually tweeted it, and we'll have to go into the results to get more on that. We found it. That's Methuen's own Darwin Jimenez, a freshman at Hines Community College out of Mississippi, ran a 10:48 on the men's 100-meter dash. Not bad at all. Good job to him and his Methuen Track, former team MHS Ranger Track, at MHS Ranger Track. Did we see the results? Was that right in the results? 10:48 for our former Ranger. Way to go, Darwin. So cool stuff. Cool stuff there for sure. Going along in the valley to see what else is going on. How about Bill Burt, Eagle Tribune at Burt Talk Sports? This story ran on Sunday by Jamie Pote, but it's worth posting again. North Andover native Kate Cheevers was born with cystic fibrosis with not a great life expectancy 3 years ago. Thanks to miracle drugs, she was prepared to conquer the Boston Marathon. So congratulations. For sure. And congratulations to all the Valley folks running in the Boston Marathon. That's a really cool obvious accomplishment. You know, plenty of Valley runners out there. So congratulations on running, probably for a great cause. That's what most of the runners in the Boston Marathon do. A lot of them are fundraiser related. Moving on down to the Merrimack Valley news out of Twitter. Bethuen High Varsity Softball at MHS underscore VSB. Dropped the tough one 5-4 April 15th to a good Tingsboro team. Colleen ripped a home run and double back at it tomorrow. Same time, same place versus North Andover. We already talked about that one, I believe. So looking at some more news coming out of the Valley. Tewksbury Athletics is tracking a baseball game. It's still going on, so we'll leave that one alone. What else is going on in the Valley? Talk to me, baby. Talk to me. Chelmsford Baseball at Coach underscore DeStasi. Lions fall to 2-2 after a 7-9 loss to Billerica. Need to learn to keep the pedal down. Lions scored early with key hits from Engelhart, Ramsier, triple. Keogh, two hits. Morgan and Kobrinski had collected another hit. A Hall collected another hit. Nick Lai and Sean Whalen allowed one run in four and a third innings of relief. Not bad. Relief out of the pen there. Very, very cool. Moving on to a couple more nuggets out of the Valley. Today, at the time of this recording, April 16th, final score, Andover 7, Tewksbury 5. Huge comeback from down 5-0 as we gain some momentum for Central on Thursday, and that's at Baseball Andover. And closing things out in the Valley this week, let's go with our very successful Central Catholic softball team out of Lawrence at CC Raider underscore SB S Ball. Great team win on a hot sunny day. This is April 16th. Caitlin with the 3-run bomb to put it away. Pedal, hashtag pedal to the metal. Love it. All right, thanks for tuning in. Thank you, Jordani, again for a great interview. And we will be back next week, every week, msonewsports.com. Tune in.